Welcome to News Burp, the show that trawls the internet for news and bursts its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and him over there is Adam.
Hello.
And this is episode number 266.
266.
And today, we have stories about football-sized goldfish are going to take over the world. Once and for all, we might get the same numbers of hot dogs and hot dog buns in packets. And do shellfish have souls?
And I have the Doomsday Plane and the mysterious seeds from China.
Ooh.
Yeah. China seeds.
China.
China seeds. Okay. Amazing. Amazing seeds. Yes.
Any crack? Any stories with you?
It's hot. It's
fucking
hot. It
is. Really warm.
Got a job.
Did you get a job? Congratulations on the job.
Thanks, man.
Do you want to tell everybody what the job is?
I would be a production assistant. you know those guys that clean out wank cubicles at shows? I clean those.
Good stuff. They don't have disposable gloves in their budget, but, you know, I make do.
Yeah. The plexiglass is so sensitive, they tell me I have to use my tongue to clean them. I'm like, is it weird?
Yeah.
Tastes salty.
Yeah, you kind of got to go around the pleather seats and wipe off all the groin slime.
Yeah. That's been there a while.
Yeah.
Nobody goes into Cubicle 8 anymore. It's like, why not? You'll see.
Not since the incident.
Yeah. Oh, this leather's cracking. That's not leather.
Production assistant.
That's production assistant for a theatre company. And yeah.
Fantastic.
I couldn't tell you what's excited. Involved. I'm going to learn as I go. Right?
Alright, yeah. Look, every job I've ever had where I went, especially if it was a job I knew nothing about. Now, no, you know what you're doing here. So, you know, I know you're being very modest. Saying, no, I don't know what it's all about. But Google is your friend.
It is.
You know, all you want to do is somebody asks you a question, say, huh? And in that time then, take your phone out with the voice recorder and get them to repeat it. And then just Google what that shit means. And then come back and go, I have the answer for that question you asked me 4 minutes ago.
I kind of thought that my position should have some kind of confidence associated with it. Like, if someone comes to me, they expect me to have an answer. If I go, eh? Sorry, can you just repeat that into Google Siri, or into Siri, please? Say, what the fuck does that mean? And do you have the schedule for today's shoot? Huh? Schedule a shoot. What guns are we using? What they had? Oh, camera shoot. Wow, that looks involved. I should probably get to work on that.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. There. And I have to have this done today, do I? Yes. Yeah, I didn't do that. So, I'll probably get started on it after lunch. Now, Adam. Yeah, I'm kind of tired now. Had a big wank. So.
It was huge.
Yeah. Man, I must have blocked the toilet.
Do you mean the groin slime that flung all over the place there, I can tell you?
It was not good. A little bit of blood came out.
Oh, I have a story about that. But I don't really want to tell that one.
Oh, man. No. Oh, we've heard that story.
You got to be careful when you say anything, because that could, you know, okay. You know the way there's those kinds of people that no matter what you say, they fucking sing a song about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Musicals.
Like that, yeah. Or anybody.
Yeah.
There's always like a dude in a bar where, you know, if somebody says, hey, he goes, hey, baby. Who? And he keeps singing, even though everyone's like, shut the fuck up, Christy. So anyway, right. So there's always one of them who like sings when like a word or a phrase triggers him to remember a song. He sings the song. Right?
Yeah.
I'm that guy with disgusting stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even on purpose.
And I think because the worst thing is, as I said, as a joke, you have a story about that. Oh, God. Yeah, you do.
I do. I told you about it. I think I mentioned it on the show as well.
Yeah, you did. Doesn't matter. We had it was our pre-show bants. It was like this section of the show.
Pre-show bats, yeah.
Yeah, you told the whole, and then you were the guy in the waiting area. Oh, yeah. It was like, and where's blood coming from? Oh yeah, so you're the wanker, are you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, wanker, if you want to come in here and get a blood test, is that my? Oh, I have a name. Yeah, we're calling you the wanker. Oh.
And when I wanted to retread the whole story, there was two very kind of unnecessary questions, I feel, especially when asked by medical professionals. One was, how do you know there's blood in your semen? What the fuck do you mean, how do I know? How would I know?
They just I'm sure they just go, one reason, let's see what he says. Let's see if he says he was masturbating or he says, sound wank.
That's the second question. But they don't even wait for you to answer the first question, because they can see the first question has perplexed you. Because you're like, what the fuck else do you think? And then they go, it's like they finish a sentence, they go, you're masturbating. I go, I want to be outraged, but I can't.
You're a bit of a wanker, are you? Yes, I'm a bit of a wanker. Yeah, can you just say it loud enough for the whole room to hear? Yes, I'm a bit louder. There we go. It's like Whiplash. you're the drummer, and the doctor is Simmons. Just tell the room, share with the room what you are. I'm a wanker. What are you? I'm a wanker. Louder, I'm a wanker. Yeah. Good times.
Good times. Matt good time. And his penis. Shall we do a weekly weird updates?
Yes.
Yes.
News.
That's it. That's all we need.
That's all we ever need. So, do you know what's terrifying?
Clowns.
Spider. Do you know what else is terrifying? No, you're shit at this game. I'll tell you what's really scary.
I feel like I'm six and we picked last for football. No, you're shit at this. I'll tell you what's scary. I hate it when, like, it's thunder and lightning. That's bollocks. I hate when the guy comes in with the gun and just starts blowing shit down. Your parents are like, what? Have you seen American Werewolf in London? No? Well, there's monster Nazis that come in and kill your parents and shoot a place and then cut your throat. Yeah, that's scary. Fucking thunder and lightning. Sorry, man. Yeah. What's scary?
Yeah, well, that's what's scary is football-sized goldfish. That's what's scary, Adam.
Well, are the actual goldfish then? Because I kind of get that's some good eating.
Goldfish. Well, I don't know. Like, I've never eaten a goldfish, but apparently, I don't know how true this is. People can fact check me. I don't really care. I'm going to say it anyway. The larger an area that a goldfish or like a carp fish has to live in, the larger they'll grow. So if you have a goldfish in like a small little goldfish bowl, it won't grow any bigger than when you get it because there isn't much space for them to move around. But if a bigger tank, you'll get bigger. A bigger tank, you'll get even bigger again. And so if you have them like wild ones that are out in like lakes and stuff,
yeah,
they grow huge. So they only grow like that. They'll keep growing depending on how much. Yeah, well, these ones here. So this is in a place. Where is it? We'll find out. Let's read. People dumped their pets into lakes, officials say, and now there's football-sized goldfish, and they're taken over.
God.
The invasion begins innocently enough. A goldfish paddles. Hang on. Not read that. Okay, let's down to the story. The real trouble comes later when the human who put it out there decades ago. Okay, so there's people dumping shit in the water, like dead pets and stuff. Going, that'll do in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Where we go. So, let me
hang. Think, are they really dead? Here. That's what I'm thinking. These fish are kind of going. I think they're telling each other in the pet stores, or whatever. Like they're all like, "Oh, do you want this?" And yeah. And they're all telling, "Dude, just swim upside down, and they'll dump you in the toilet or a lake, and you just swim and you fucking massive. You can eat like ginkers, and you just like become massive. Yeah, yeah. Just do it in 3 days. Like give the kid a bit of a nice time, but then after a while, just kind of go, eh."
give the kid a bit of a nice time. That's all I heard there, Adam.
Well, that's what I said. But, you know, it's like, you know, have him go boop, boop, and have him tap the glass. And but when he taps the glass, because everyone knows that if you tap the glass, you freak us out. So, like, actually jump back. And then eventually just, like, you know, when they're all going to bed, just, like, swim upstairs for a bit. And you get dumped in the lake, man. And then it's like heaven.
Yeah.
All that algae, man.
I love a bit of algae.
Algae sandwiches.
So the invasion begins innocently enough. A goldfish paddles the secluded waters of an at-home aquarium, minding its own business, disturbing no native habitats. The real trouble comes later when the human who put it there decides it's time for a change, not wanting to hurt the fish, but not wanting to keep it either. The pet's owner decides to release it into a local lake, pond, or waterway. That decision, experts say, is well-meaning, but misguided and potentially harmful, you big dick. The article said, I didn't have that last bit in the article said. Officials in Burnsville, a city about 50 miles south of Minneapolis, demonstrated why late last week when they shared photographs of several massive goldfish that were recovered from a local lake. The discarded pets can swell and wreak havoc, the city warned. Please don't release your pet goldfish into ponds and lakes. They grow bigger than you think and contribute to poor water quality by mucking up the bottom sediments and uprooting plants. Burnsville, along with neighboring Apple Valley, began surveying the lake's goldfish population after residents complained of a possible infestation. Working with the company, Carp Solutions. There's a solutions company for everything.
There has to be. There's all these problems.
well, when you put it like that. which specializes in
go figure.
That's why we had Hitler. Which specializes in controlling water pests, the city sent a team to investigate, and it even was surprised by the size of the fish it found. You see, goldfish in the store, and they're small, little, tiny fish.
Yeah.
But when you put a goldfish the size of a football out of a lake, it makes you wonder how this can even be the same type of animal. So it goes on to say, but look, first of all, they can quickly reproduce, especially when they're unchecked.
Right.
And again, they uproot everything and they interfere with the whole, because it's not their natural habitat.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. So, like, when there's like a, you know, I'm not a full time science person.
Marinologist.
When it comes, there you go. I'm not a full time one of them, you know. But I know that when you introduce something from an ecosystem that isn't normally there,
yes,
it fucks it all up.
Is what it is.
Fucks it all up.
Simpsons, bullfrogs in Australia.
And also, yeah, exactly.
I call it
and
a
then
chisel,
when you couple that with the fact that, yeah, no, it's a noise. Yeah, so, and again, as I already said, like they just keep growing in size, you know, they keep growing to kind of meet their environment and the fact that there's, you know, just constant food, so they can keep eating, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So yeah, giant goldfish. Like there's a picture. The picture in the thing here, which I'll put up on the website. I'll use the picture on the website. Is like an actual, like it looks like it's like an orange gold. It's a goldfish. It's like a typical Funfair in a plastic bag goldfish.
Yeah.
Except he has to use two hands to hold it.
Fuck.
So it's like, holy shit. But also, getting back to your point, I'd have to taste that nearly, wouldn't I? You would have to taste that.
I think if they're edible, I mean, if they're, you know, some kind of like vermin of the sea, you know,
it seems that they are. It seems like they're kind of scavengers or whatever. But you know, we've kind of bred them to feed off whatever shit we throw into the tank at them. So there's no reason why they wouldn't be scavengers or bottom feeders or whatever, you know.
But I say if it's a problem, just that's how you deal with a problem. Eat it.
That's how I've dealt with my problem so far. Eat it. Me and Weird Al. Just eat everything.
Play the track. I'm about to eat my problems.
Yeah, so there you go. I remember we went to the aquarium in Bray years ago.
Oh yeah.
And they let the kids kind of throw in handfuls of pellets to the carp, right? And it's as if there's like a surge under the water, like a, you know, like a horror movie when, like, you know, you're in the thing and it starts to bubble and foam, and it's just the carp. They're going mad for these pellets.
Jesus.
But they're like the giant, the huge motherfuckers. They'd probably take your leg off.
Fucking hell, I don't need that.
No. You don't need any of that.
For that shit.
But here you go, Johnny Goldfish. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Is there anything else worth mentioning there? Here we go. Oh, here's some little facts about how resilient these goldfish are.
Which is why it's now hard
to deal with them in the wild. They can live to be 25 years old.
They what?
They can live to be 25 years old.
Fuck, Jesus, they don't do that in the fucking tank when you bring them home, do they?
That's one thing.
48 hours is what they live.
Yeah, well, you know, they probably just killed themselves. You know.
Whatever.
Swam backwards. It's not how you drown a fish. Not that I've ever done this recently, but you grab by the tail and you pull it backwards and that drowns the fish.
Well, yeah.
So maybe they just swim backwards.
They have to constantly swim forwards. They can push themselves backwards, but they close their gills and then swim on. But if you force the thing where they can't close their gills, that's it.
It's a bad time. But they can also weigh as much as 4 pounds and measure over a foot long.
Jesus.
That's a goldfish.
Foot long?
That's a goldfish. They can also survive in severe conditions and can weather winters and bodies of water that are frozen over, living for months without oxygen.
And yet, if you don't change the water properly in their fucking tank, they die within minutes. Give me a fucking break.
I know. It's complete bollocks.
These things are little tanks. They know exactly what they're fucking doing. It's like, I don't want to live here. It's a shithole. I'm gone. We change the water? Yeah, change the water. Blame it on that. I'm dead. Chuck me in the lake. Flush me in the toilet. Woo! Pack of fucking bastards. It's all there.
Yeah. Well, there you go now. That's the story on goldfish. Don't throw them away or don't flush them because they get big. One of them was pulled over in a high-speed police chase.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, it was a high speed police chase.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a pun.
Oh, I have a pun. I just don't know where I was going with that story.
Come on,
man. So disappointed.
So I'm saying, all right, okay, this is a bit of a joke, so I'll go along. It's like, how fast is he going?
he was going. Hang on. He was going so fast that that the police are quoted saying his speed was off the scales.
That's good. Next story.
Okay.
Sorry, man, it's a good one. We'll put in the laughter track after.
You fucking liar. So last week we had a story about advertisers infiltrating your dreams.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not the same as the story I'm about to tell you. But you remember that story? That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, good memories. So, spacecraft.
The reason I mentioned it is because I didn't mention the beer company that was behind it.
Yes.
And I'm in two minds as to whether to mention the company that's behind this next story. Because, again, it's a PR grab, but it's one that, you know, grabbed my attention. You know, I'm just going to say it's a condiment company.
Condiment. So Heinz.
Right. Well done, Adam. Well done.
I win. I love that I said Heinz as if like, well, they're the only condiment company. What about HP or Chef? Shh, I don't think so.
Which further goes to show that we don't need to name these companies because the second I say condiment, you went Heinz. You know, if I said condom, you'd say Durex. If I said, if I said whatever, you'd say whatever. You know, I'm not firing on all cylinders today, Adam.
Do you think? Jeez. I think it's even funny when you say, I'm not burning all cylinders. I may fall down soon. That.
I didn't sleep well last night and I've had to do a lot of mental work today.
Oh, that is true.
It's a lot of mental work, which I hadn't planned on exerting myself for. You know, I had to learn how to edit videos today, Adam.
Yeah, and you know, like I've seen the fruits of your labor, and it's good. And it's going to stand to you.
It is, yeah. And the more I do it, the better I'll get. Yeah. You know? But it's an awful lot of mental work. I think I just need a bit of a lie down. And you know, they don't do, you know, dummies or soothers for adults. You know, well, I think they do.
Them. I've seen them in videos. Special videos.
It's called a cock. So Heinz, seems that we blew the lid off that one, starts a petition to make hot dogs and buns come in equal size packs. The mismatch is still one of the stupidest things on earth. There's one person, one person who signed the online petition. So food waste is more and more of a known issue, with American consumers wasting nearly 40% of the food they buy, according to the Natural Resources Defense Council. Why then are hot dog makers and hot dog bun makers not doing their part? Heinz Ketchup in Canada says in a new video, when hot dogs often comes in packs of 10, while hot dog buns regularly come in groups of 8. It depends as well. Like, you can sometimes get, like, depending on the territory. Like, we get our, I think our hot dog buns come in 6.
Yeah.
But you'll always find, like, the hot dog packs, like the sausages, always come in 8s or 12s here. Yeah.
If it's 12s, like, it's good. You just get, like, 2 buns.
If it's 12s, it's fine. You just get an extra packet of buns, you know. Yeah. But if it's, you know, if it's 8, you're like, what the fuck am I doing with this? I always love that scene in Father of the Bride when he's walking around the supermarket and he's tried to fit into his tuxedo and it's ripped. So he's walking around the supermarket in his ripped tuxedo and it's just like, 6 hot dogs, 8 buns. Like, only need 6 buns. So he tears out. Steve Martin's at his best in this and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think he's at his best. But he rips it up and takes 2 buns out and just puts them back on the shelf. Says, I only need 6. Therefore, I'm only going to buy 6. So, you know, I do get it. I get this thing, you know. Why can't Big Bun and Big Dog get together on this? Steve Martin's character, and only one with Father of Brian. See, I told you. Everything I say comes true. I hadn't even read the story. And yet they hear.
What do you mean? Mind. What came true there? What came true?
That Steve Martin did it in the film.
Yeah, but that happened. You're recalling a memory.
Yeah, but the piece on CNET.com recalled the exact same piece.
So what?
I invented it.
You didn't write or make that film to then, like, predict this story happening.
Not all of it.
Not all of it. I came up with Frank. That was me. All me.
Frank. Oh, if I came up with Frank, I'd be dining out that to this day if I came up with Frank.
Yeah.
Here we go. As of Wednesday morning, just over 5,700 people have signed the petition. Comments show the issue has bugged a lot of hot dog eaters for a lot of years. 100% in for this, wrote one petition signer. It's written down Singer. I'm sure he meant Signer.
I'm sure he did.
You know, I don't know what a petition singer is. That'd be annoying at your front door, wouldn't it?
Don't see your petition, do you? No, please go away.
No,
we'd
don't.
Like to sign up. No. Stop there. Fuck, go away.
I'll sign it if you fuck off. That's how they get their signatures.
Thank you today.
Here we go. And this is the thing about online petitions and giving people a chance to write their own thing in with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because the petition should have been like, should hot dog bun companies and hot dog companies team up to, like, you know, market things properly? It should be like a yes or a no. Simple, fun petition, right?
Yeah.
But no, they give people the chance to give their 2 cents.
Ugh.
Right? So here's one of them. I agree. Still one of the stupidest things on earth. How can you give us more buns than hot dogs? What am I supposed to do? Grill it with some garlic and some butter and some onions for a nice garlic bread?
It's like a... That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
What the fuck are you doing on a petition? If you know what to do with your extra buns, it's not a problem for you, is it?
Yeah, you've obviously thought this out. For, like, the non-meat eaters of your party, what would you like? Garlic bread? Actually, that'd be lovely. Yeah. But you actually have an extra bun here, so go for your life there. So stupid.
Just, you know. Of course, the thing about it is that Heinz doesn't actually make hot dog buns or hot dogs.
But they market.
So really, they've not. Well, they're not marketing any particular company, you know. But obviously, here's the thing. It goes back to what we said at the top of the story. I said condiment, you said Heinz. So if this sparks you to go and get hot dogs and hot dog buns, you'd be like, we need ketchup or mustard. Let's go to the aisle, and what are we going to reach for?
Chef mustard.
Yeah, and daddy's brown sauce.
Coleman's mustard and chef red sauce. What about Heinz? They're a pack of bastards.
Bastards, yeah. There we go. In fact, the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council just came out to say only children should eat their hot dogs with ketchup. So they're getting all high and mighty about having ketchup on a hot dog.
Sorry, you said there was a council for it.
Oh, yeah, National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
A national council? Jesus Christ.
National. Well, it's not, I mean, you know, if it was regional, you'd be like, what region?
Either way, it's just... Oh, we've got, what are you doing? Oh, we monitor hot dogs and hot dog buns. Well, do you want to sort this problem out? It's been going on for like 25 years.
These are the kinds of places that I want to work in. I want to work in a place that has zero point in being around. At least if I know that going in, then I can have some fun with it. Like, if I interview for a job in the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, I'd be like, what am I doing here? And they're like, I don't know, we gather information about sausages and shit. I'd be like, oh, you can do that.
No, I think that would drive you nuts. Because I think you'd find that there are, it's just full of lazy people, known, like, thinking the same thing. But you would be landed with a job that actually has to, you have to do a report or something, like a weekly report. And you have to hand it in. And there's another guy, you know, Declan, who just kind of goes in and goes, what's your job? I just sit here in my office. But what's your title? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. I just say, and I get paid the motherfucking big bucks. What are you doing?
Well, if I know there's something going into there, it'd be all right, I think.
I don't know. I think you'd kill someone. I think you would kill someone. You'd go, all right, let's just do the job, get it done, and enjoy the rest of the week. And they'll go, spread the load out, Matt. No. I'll do it all on Monday, and then I will just spread my legs for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that now. Fucking watch me, lads. Watch me.
Just, you know, work smart, not hard. That's what I say.
Yep. I hear you.
Anyway, there you go. There you go. There you go. It also made me wonder, like, how come, like, bread is usually, like, if I ask you to draw a slice of bread, you draw, like, the typical square-shaped bread, yeah?
Yes.
You draw like a square slice of bread. If I just randomly asked you to draw a slice of bread, that's what you draw.
Yes. Yeah?
Now, if I said, now, draw some meat to go on that sandwich, you're going to draw a circle, like a sandwich meat or like a bologna or something.
Possibly, yes.
You know? So why can't we have square-shaped meat for square-shaped bread while we're on the hot dog and sausage situation?
Well, you know? Do you remember corned beef? That used to come in squares.
Fuck off, Adam, making sense, Willie. I'm trying to, you know, say that there's round meat and square bread. And you're like, actually, I think you'll find a square meat as well.
I think there is, though. But I think they do it for that reason. It's the thing, cheese. Well, not a lot of cheese. Not a lot of cheese. Most cheese comes in like squares or blocks. And when you have your round pan, if you have your round pan and your round meat and you want a slice of cheese, you got little corners fucking flicking out the sides, don't you? You're like,
Would it be nice if like all these companies like got together and be like, what shape bread are you making? We're making square bread. Grand, we'll make square ham. Or we'll make square chicken.
But now I think we're heading towards Crazy Town. But there is square and round loaves.
Yes. Look, there are all different manner shapes of food and varieties out there.
Yeah.
I've yet to see a triangle bread though.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a turnover, which I suppose from the side you could argue resembles a triangle. You know, and even then, for those who don't know what a turnover loaf is, maybe you can Google it. It seems to be like an Irish thing. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to make out of that kind of bread?
It doesn't fit in any
toaster. You know, in order to make a sandwich, you're going to have to take two of them. And two of those big slices is probably more than like the average person would have. So then it's like, well, then what do you do?
I think it's very much a soup dipping bread.
Soup.
But I think it fits that bill.
Yeah.
What's the perfect bread for dipping into soup? I think you find it's turnover. Oh, it is, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. True. Anyway, there you go. That's Heinz's free ad for the week.
So, in the interest of like fairness, should we name the beer?
No, because I don't see the problem in a condiment company, you know, having fun with like food and stuff. But I have a problem with like beer companies getting into your dreams.
Okay, that's fine.
You know what I mean? That's just me. You know. Right, here we go.
Yeah.
Hang on, I had another story. It's gone. Where's it gone? Hang on. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay. Because Control Shift and T opens up the tab you just closed down.
Yeah, good man. You know how to do computers.
I do, sometimes.
I would not know that.
When's the last time you had, say, crabs or lobsters or prawns or mussels or anything like that?
I was like, crabs? What? Who told you? Shut up. What? prawns. We went to Divine. I think that was last time.
Okay. Well, you probably wouldn't have had like live prawns that you would have like cooked from scratch. Like they were live and you had to boil them or fry them or anything like that.
No, Matt.
Well, I'm just, or even like mussels or clams or scallops or any of them that are kind of like still alive when you're going to cook them.
No. As much as I like them, it'd be a waste of time because I'd be the only person in the family that would eat them. The whole family would just go, eh, gross. I go, garlic butter. Okay. Trust me. No, eh. I hate them. You haven't even tried them. Eh. No.
Well, now there's another reason for you to encourage your family to try cooking live crustaceans and mollusks.
Yeah,
because apparently they're sentient beings. So when you drop them into boiling water, they're like, oh my God, why am I in this boiling water? Like they think about it. Like they it registers with them. They're not like, you know, insects or whatever that people thought they were, where they have like no mind or anything.
Yeah.
You know, apparently they're sentient beings with feelings and emotions and souls.
Fuck.
So the UK is going to ban boiling lobsters alive in a bill that acknowledges that crustaceans and mollusks are sentient beings.
Oh, there you go. Shit.
Now, that's a bit of a stretch for me. You know, because a lot of people say, because if you've ever, I've been in a couple of kitchens where they've done live lobsters.
Yeah.
And just the first time you see it done, it's like, I want to see what this is all about.
Yeah.
So you get a big giant pot of water, just like you see in the movies or the TV. Take it off, you drop it in, and then you hear a squeal.
Is that the shell?
And there's a lot of people going, I think it's like the shell or like, you know, it's the whatever air and whatever's inside the body of the thing. It's like, it's just forced out, right. You know. But a lot of people think that that's the lobster squealing its life. You know. I mean, I don't think it's true. You know.
Yeah.
Does it arouse me a little bit when I'm dropping a lobster into a pot of water? Well, no, here's the thing.
Oh, God. Would you home cook a lobster or a crab?
I did it once. And it was very messy. For a reason that I won't get into, because for the reason I get into it, we'll put people off kind of lobster. You know, that's just, this wasn't a pleasant experience because of the particular lobster that I had.
Right.
You know, so I think if I had a choice again, I'd choose my lobster more carefully. So it would be less mess.
Is what you're saying.
I choose a male. Fucking eggs everywhere, Adam. Fucking everywhere.
But like you see, even in like all these like lobster restaurants, especially in America, like they give you a bib and like all these kind of cleaning stuff and like so many kind of like lemon wipes and lemon like finger bowls because it's just like, you're going to need this. Here's your hammer. Here's your fork. It's like, what? What do you mean? There's your lobster. Have at it, son. It's like, all right. And it's like cracking shell and ripping open and eating the meat. Now it's gorgeous. Like crab and lobster is just, oh God.
I know, like, just amazing. The UK is going to ban boiling lobsters under a new animal welfare bill. The law, if passed, will consider invertebrates like lobsters and crabs sentient and capable of feeling pain. The animal welfare regulation will also mandate that invertebrates be dispatched humanely. So, like, I'm all for it, right? But how do we prove that something is sentient, you know, because here's the thing. Before this story, if I told you I boiled a lobster for dinner, you go, ooh, look at you having lobster, but you wouldn't think, what are you doing boiling a live lobster?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I said to you, I boiled a dog for dinner, then there'd be a different reaction.
Yeah. I think,
you know, so are we now, you know, like, are we a step away from saying, oh, this lobster has feelings, this lobster has a soul, this lobster has a fucking personality and wants to be on Broadway. That's his dream. What are you doing cooking it?
I think if they're aware of their own existence, like there's a video somewhere on the internet of a crab like trying to escape from an octopus. Now the octopus gets him, yes. Because fucking octopus is like, octopus. My arms are fucking massive. But the crab is aware that he's almost like, I don't want to be eaten. I don't want to die. Now, if he had a voice, yeah. And he was able to shout help, you'd probably find that there'd be human beings that would probably stick a hand in and go, here you are, son. Just wait until he goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's
I remember reading that. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, no, that's my point. Well, the point is, they just don't have a human voice. So we're kind of going, well.
Well, see, here's the thing, right, is that I remember years ago, must be at least 10 years ago, one of these random science facts was, like, broken as news. And, like, you know, and finally, you know, on the news kind of thing.
Yeah.
That the smell of freshly cut grass is the scent that the grass is putting out there to warn other plants that danger is around.
God.
Like it's a pheromone. And of course, we smell it and we go, lovely fresh cut grass. And really, it's the tears of you know, dead millions.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, it smells lovely, and they're literally screaming. But like, is that feeling pain, or is that just a chemical reactionary response?
I'm guessing. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm guessing.
And then when does that kind of response end? And when does like sentience-ness? That's not a word, but you know what I mean. Like, yeah. So when does one stop and one take over?
I honestly, I don't know. I'm sure there's someone who's smarter than me who can make that distinction. Where if you've two live things, like one being plant, one being animal, you know, what gives one kind of sentient powers and the other not?
Yeah.
I guess if one will constantly repeat its pattern. No matter what happens, so the grass will like just continue to grow, you know, and even kind of insects will just they'll eat something, they'll just keep eating something, unaware, like say locusts will just eat the grass, unaware that they're destroying a crop.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that makes it easier because I don't think my point makes sense.
You see, I suppose the question is that how do we measure sentience and how do we. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if a grass is that field of grass like collectively feeling pain, and that's the pheromone they're putting out there as a warning. What is that? You know, I'm in pain. We're being destroyed. We're being wiped out. Yeah. Danger's on the way. To you know, a lobster being dropped in a pot of water, or you know, somebody being stabbed. It's like you know, at what level do we start to recognize that you know this is not right? Because as much as I'm all for like things being or animals being humanely dispatched, but also you know you won't be able to go into a restaurant and pick a lobster. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure you could pick a lobster, but they would kill it before they just throw it into boiling water.
See, the thing is as well though is that like apparently it takes like it's all of like 2 seconds and that lobster's dead. You know, because that's why the water is boiling. It's like it's 100 degrees. So, like, in 2 seconds, it's gone. That's it. Done. So, like, it just seems like an awful lot of faff for 2 seconds of a lobster's life. So does it make me sound cold? I don't know. I just think lobsters are too tasty to care about.
Oh, pinchy. So delicious. Fucking kids and their fucking go-karts. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. So fucking loud. I can't
can you hear the dead hooker in my freezer?
Huh? What?
What?
Did you say end up in your freezer?
I said, can you hear the dead hooker in my freezer?
Oh, no, it's soundproof.
Yeah. That's all right.
Good for you.
That's funny stories. Anyway, like, it just seems that, you know, between giant goldfish and, you know, sentient lobsters, something fishy going on.
There you go. There you go. You're back in the game.
Saved it.
That is good.
What have you got? What's your stories?
What have I got? Doomsday Plane. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me.
Okay, so it's a look inside the US's $223 million Doomsday Plane. Okay? So do you ever wonder what happens to the President of the United States would go in the event of a nuclear disaster? Well, it turns out there's a special plane that has been built for just this scenario.
Okay.
Because you've been kind of threatening, you've been saying that war is coming with China, haven't you?
Yeah, and since now China are becoming all buddy-buddy with North Korea, so, you know, just something afoot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I don't want to alarm anybody, but a source close to Kim Jong, whoever's in charge, says they're coming for us.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an anonymous source. That's my anonymous source in North Korea. Right there in the situation room.
Okay. Say situation room. He's my dealer. And he is paranoid as fuck.
You don't know how true that is.
The $220 million militarized Boeing 747 is designed to survive a nuclear blast, and in the event that military ground communications was destroyed, it would become the command and control center for the U.S. military's most senior officials, including the President, Secretary of Defense, and Joint Chiefs of Staff. A fleet of four E-4Bs make up the National Airborne Operations Center. One of them is on the alert 24/7, and one always follows the President on Air Force One for overseas visits. The plane has three decks and can hold a crew of up to 112. The front of the plane consists of living quarters, where 18 bunks are available for Air Force crew. The center of the plane, sometimes known as the Battle Staff Room class, is where military strategists hammer out a response to a crisis. The back of the plane is dedicated to external communications as well as a technical control room. But how could a plane survive a nuclear explosion, Matthew? Well, this...
I was going to ask the exact same question. I have written down my notes here. Ask Adam, how a plane is supposed to survive a fucking nuclear explosion?
Well, let me tell you. This particular aircraft can fly so high, it can actually get above nuclear destruction and out of harm's way. Check that shit.
Isn't that handy for everybody on the ground, huh?
Do we get to come in the plane? No. No. Additionally, the windows have a wired mesh, but a bit like a microwave, but hopefully more high tech, to prevent the effects of radiation entering the aircraft. Crucially, due to its four huge engines, the plane can fly for 7 whole days before needing to be refueled. Unsurprisingly, it's not cheap to run and costs almost $160,000 per hour to fly.
Yeah, but you know, it's for the caliber of person that's going to be in there, it's totally worth it.
God, imagine that could have been for Trump. He would have fucking loved it. Could be
for
that.
Trump.
He would have been like, let me go on the big plane. Let me go on the big plane. Sir, just go on Air Force One. Let me go on the big one, the big expensive one. No, we're not doing that.
It can't survive like a nuclear strike. Like the bomb hit the plane, it wouldn't survive.
Yeah, but if it's in the air, and I think if a bomb goes off like directly underneath it, it might shake the plane, but it's not going to like damage it in any way. Like the blast, I'm sure, kind of puts it off kilter or whatever. But there's no reason why the plane would actually have to come down. The planes are now considered slightly dated, and the US is currently in the process of trying to replace them. So of course, I'm like, fucking kids. I'm sure just like how much it costs is just, I'm sure that today they're thinking, you know, different materials and but still having the same kind of efficiency.
Well, you see, it's cast because like remember back in the, it was the 60s, it was the 60s and 50s and 60s, yeah, after World War II, and it was like the big nuclear panic, and you know, there was all the tests going on, and there was the what was it, duck and cover was taught in American school.
Yeah, that'll help you.
You know, so it's like, yeah, so it's like, duck and cover, not beside the window, because you wouldn't want to get cut, you know.
Yeah, glass might spray. I don't give a fuck about glass.
You don't want a bit of a boo-boo before the bomb peels your skin off.
Yeah. I'm about to fucking melt, and you're worried about if I get cut on my cheek. Well, would you like that? Yeah.
So
I'm gonna fucking melt, you clown.
So duck and cover for the plebs on the ground, and hundreds of millions of dollars for the plebs in the air.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm not worried, because do you know all you have to do? And this is scientific.
Yes.
Right. All you have, don't give me that tone.
I'm waiting for it to go.
All you have to do.
Go to GTA mode and go, all you have to do is just crash through the barrier and take one for yourself, son. Like, yeah.
No.
What am I doing?
You just got to wrap yourself up in tinfoil. That's it.
Nobody speaks about this.
We wrap ourselves up in tinfoil, right? You're immune from everything nuclear.
In just one layer of tinfoil, or should I go
one layer of tinfoil? No, just the one. You can be Tom Cruise on the side of that fucking nuclear plane, and all you need to have on you is tinfoil, and you're sorted.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You gotta make sure that the shiny side is out, though. Otherwise,
that'd be my mistake, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you see, it had the dull side facing out.
I know.
And idiot. That shit just soaks up the radiation.
Such a goose.
Such a sausage. Yeah,
I'm taking that time, dude. Your tinfoil's on its side. Oh man, how much time have I got? Like 3 seconds. Oh, I'm never gonna do it. Laters.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I put my tinfoil on inside him.
Lads, do not tweet this. Do not. Lads. Oh, stop. Stop. Your hands melted to your phone now. This has been a weekend. Huh? Fucking hell.
Oh, I'd love to be in a doomsday plane. Like, it doesn't need to be refueled for 7 days.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Like, you can stay there for a week.
I remember being on a Ryanair flight once.
That's a jeep. That's a leap.
Same thing. Well, we were on a Ryanair flight, and whatever happened, we were coming in, and like a giant gust, it was quite windy, so we were like about to hit the runway, and then suddenly we shot up again.
Oh.
So obviously, like, we couldn't land for, I don't know what the reason was. It's never explained to us, and I don't think it needed to be, because what can we do about it?
Yeah.
We're fucking sat there with our paninis and scratch cars. What the fuck are we supposed to do about it? So he went up again, and of course then the notice came over from the captain, said, oh, we're going to circle around again and come in on the other runway. Like, man, okay, or whatever. And somebody two like rows ahead was like, have they got enough fuel to go around again?
Oh god, who gave that brain a voice?
Yeah, like I know Ryanair's tight, but you know, I don't think they're so tight where it's like calculated to the milliliter of fuel from door to door.
Yeah. Do you think we can do it? They have a reserve tank. They have to have a reserve tank.
But there's a gremlin in the wing. No, that's just Michael O'Leary. All right, don't worry about it.
But I think that would probably annoy me if you actually went perp, you know, that's hitting the ground, and just like I didn't fart, just keep going. It's like, no, there's a crosswind. Just turn into it then. You're on the ground. If I was kind of afraid of my crash, I'd stay close to the ground then.
Oh no, we hadn't hit the ground yet. Like we were coming into land.
Ah, right.
I don't know what height we were, but it was close enough for us to see the lines on the runway flying past the window. So it was that close, but we hadn't touched down yet.
We went
straight up again, and the landing gear came in, and we did a circle, and then the landing gear came out, and then we landed.
I still think the same. If I could see the lines whizzing by, I'm thinking, okay, we're about 10 feet from the ground. Just fucking push the thing forward. I told
myself that it was Die Hard 2 and that John McClane was down there lighting the shit up on fire and we had to get out of there.
Oh, you know? That's cool.
That's probably not what happened, though, in fairness.
Nah.
Because it was right near.
Yeah, you know? Just across me.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, just fucking land. We're there. Just get off.
The fucking round of applause that plane got when he landed, I tell you. Why do people clap when a plane lands? You don't clap when the bus driver drops you off.
Well,
that's still a big machine that a single person is operating.
But you still thank the bus driver, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I say thanks. Well, I'm not going to fucking stand up and give him a round of applause.
No.
Even appreciate because he's not witnessing it, because he's up in the fucking cockpit.
See, I think it's... I think it's more relief for people. I think who is it? Lee Evans, I think, does a whole skit on like traveling on holidays and about how planes work. And it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's like this, you know, this 40-ton machine and like massive engines and full of fuel and full of people and full of luggage, and it just goes into the air. It makes no sense. You know what makes it go up in the air? Willpower. It's the willpower of the 300 people on board who just go, get up, you bastard, get up, fucking get up. So when you come down and you land and you clap, it's just like, oh, we made it, we made it. Good job, everybody.
But getting up in the air is the easy bit. Landing that big fucking Pringles tube full of people is the hard bit.
Yeah. Sure, our good friend you know, Polly P, though, he's a pilot.
Our good friend Polly P is a pilot. But if he's being honest, he will say that these days the autopilot does a lot of work.
Yeah.
Having said that, not taking away from his training and his expertise and all the kind of stuff that comes with that. It's a very high-stress job, don't get me wrong. However, if he wanted to, he could just sit in that chair.
I think they just have to, it's like take off and landing is when they kind of win. But they're the hardest bits.
Yeah. But also, I know because I once worked with a guy who was an aviation engineer and he was German, so he insisted on telling me everything. But he was like, oh no, these days, if you can't feel the plane hitting the runway, that's an assisted landing. But if there's any sort of kind of bump or even like mini bounce or kind of, you know, if you hear the wheels squeal a little bit, that's not an assisted landing, and that's the pilot showing off his big pilot dick.
Well, then Ryanair have tiny dicks. Because I feel every fucking bump and every fucking wheel. So you're like, I was like, well, we've landed. Yeah, we know we fucking landed. Fucking digging holes in the roadway. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You moron.
It's like, it's as if Ryanair is actually doubling up as like Cuban fucking cocaine mules, where it's like they don't land in runways, they land in fucking fields and just bounce you over. And then they kick you out of the side of the runway. You have to walk across the runway to get back. Yeah. It's a fucking terminal.
It's like, you go now. You go. Jeez, hey, what's your name? Let's go. Go. On bus. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, thanks. Yay, we made on holidays. You go. Quick. Go, get bus. We had a lovely waitress here.
It's supposed to be Lanzarote in Cuba.
You go, welcome to Cuba. Welcome to Cuba. Head down. What? Head down? Where's Helen, our waitress?
Where's she gone? Oh, yeah. I'd love not to be on the doomsday plane, though. We've been cracked.
Sure would be. Lots of room. Three floors, like. Great game of...
Three floors?
Yeah. Great game of hide and seek.
I don't know. Like, I reckon those three floors are taken up because, like, you've obviously got the living quarters for, like, you know, the president.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that they knew a nuclear strike was incoming. Then the family was going to be up there as well.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a room for 112 people.
But what happens if the nuclear strike happens on the ground? They just go to their bunker. It's not like they can. It's not as if, because this is not the plane they fly in. This is not Air Force One.
No, but so one of these planes goes with that plane.
Oh,
I think so.
All the time.
There's four of them.
How did they get from one plane to the other? Because I know they can refuel midair, but like they can't like the passengers on midair.
No, I'm sorry, I think I read that wrong. I think four E4Bs make up the national. There's four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says one always follows the president. So maybe they don't fly it over, but they get it across somewhere because he always has to be near one, I suppose.
There's no point in being near it if there's a nuclear strike and you have to get into it and the nuclear strike's already happened. Might as well be like the rest of us pledged down on the ground wrapped in tinfoil.
Well, it depends. If you're on a state visit, say, in Europe, and a nuclear strike happens in America, you'd probably hop on that plane and just kind of hang about until, like, it's good to land.
Yeah, or just not take off and just fucking lay low in Prague somewhere, taking the sights.
But no, you're going to get off the ground because you don't want a bomb to hit you in Prague. Surely people know where you are. And now you're probably thinking, well, why are they bombing your country if they know where you are? I'm not a big war.
I'm just thinking, like I'm just wondering what the point of a flying nuclear bunker is if you're not flying in it all the time. Because if you're not in the flying bunker, you're in the flying fortress, which is Air Force One. Yeah. How do you get from one to the other? If you're in the air, so say he's left Shannon.
Yes.
Right? Because they always got to refuel at Shannon. So say they leave Shannon and they're heading for JFK in New York.
Yes.
Right? And they're right over. Their only real option is maybe to land in Iceland or Greenland and then swap over there. But like, they're not going to do it like mid-air. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the strike happens when they're in mid-air, that flying bunker is worth fuck all to them because they have to land in order to get into it.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, true.
Yeah. So I've cracked it.
Yeah, it's always fucking money. It's always fucking money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, still, it'd be great to have a party, though.
Sweet. What happened when a man planted mystery seeds from China?
Did a beanstalk grow?
No, but not much really happened.
Did something Chinese grow? Like, did like a noodle tree grow?
Kind of. It's a bit of a non story. But I think a couple of years ago, like, all these packages were arriving from China, or it looked like they were arriving from China, and there were seeds in them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, messing with it, don't fucking plant these seeds. Don't know what they are, don't know what they're going to do to the ecosystem. But this one guy, class. People in the USA were sent mystery seeds from China that they definitely did not order, and one guy decided to plant them and see what would happen. Basically, he's the Matt of America. Hello, hello, hello. What's this about? Nobody knew what they were being sent or who had specifically sent them, but once word got out, US officials told people not to plant them. However, Doyle Crenshaw missed the memo and made some room for his seeds in the garden.
As you do.
Last July, Green Finger Doyle revealed that while the plant is not yet to be identified, his seeds grew into white fruit and orange flowers. Some people compared the results to a squash plant, while authorities inevitably want to carry out tests. People were warned not to plant the mystery seeds as officials were worried they could contain invasive species that could potentially pose a risk to the country's flora and fauna. Doyle, who lives in Arkansas, was pretty pleased with the results of his batch. He told the news, every 2 weeks I'd come by and put Miracle-Gro on it, and they just started growing like crazy. The packages said it was from China and said studded earrings on the outside, and we thought that was a little odd. However, his satisfaction proved to be short-lived, because on the 21st of August last year, Mark Stoll of the Arkansas Department of Agriculture told news that Doyle's plants had been confiscated and burned. Explaining why people were urged not to plant them, Scott Bray of the ADA said, our concern is from the invasive pest aspect. These seeds could introduce an invasive weed or invasive insect pest or plant disease. So really it's...
Yeah, it's like the goldfish. It's like the goldfish all over again. You don't know what effect they're going to have on the environment. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to experiment with seeds like that, you know, get like a window box. You know, or like, just like a little takeaway box with some wet kitchen paper in it. You know, you put your seed in that and see what happens. You know, just like you did in school.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, there's thunder. There's thunder outside.
Catch that
shit. Yeah. So I remember years ago, it was in the '90s. I think it was 93 or 94 or 95. Between that time, it was like this big like winds that came over the Sahara, and then they dropped loads of sand all over the country.
Yes.
So like for a morning or two, it looked like everything was like red, or everything was like brown, everything like that. Like you walked out your car, it was just like covered like red and brown sand, and we're like, where did this come from? It came from the Sahara. Okay, but coincidentally, that same summer, all along the banks of where we lived, where the canal or where the river was, there was what looked like cannabis leaf grown, and we were like, cause you know, like the typical like cannabis leaf plant, it's got like five or seven leaves, it's pointy and it's very distinctive. Everyone knows what it is.
Yeah,
we saw them in real life and went, holy shit, free grown weed. We smoked shit out of that.
Did you? And was it?
And nothing happened. Nothing happened, because it wasn't. It's just a common weed that happens to look like weed, but it's not weed because there was no flowers. Now, it could be hemp,
right?
You know what I mean? Because like hemp, and it could be hemp and not weed, but like still, you know, we tried. You know, we tried smoking one leaf and then nothing happened. So then we tried smoking two of them, and it was only about an hour before we had nothing but the leaves inside the cigarette papers, and still there was nothing happening. So either we had built up a massive tolerance by the time we were 15, or it just wasn't weed.
Yeah, it was just some kind of grass. You're doing it wrong. That's when the blame happens. You're doing it wrong. You made it wrong. Didn't make it wrong. There's no roach. Don't get rid of the roach. No, man. I need it.
But I remember thinking that, and this will surprise you. you know, coming from me. But I remember thinking that I was the cleverest person in the room back then, because I figured the government doesn't know about this, and there's weed just growing everywhere. Shh, the fuck, don't tell anybody.
Good.
But it wasn't. So, you know, that's just I just smoked a lot of shit.
Good for you, son.
Yeah. Proud moment. I coughed a lot. It was horrible stuff. It was terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. I might as well just grab just a handful of random green walking by a fucking bridge and gone, here, smoke that.
You know. Just moss.
Is that our stories?
That's it. That's stories.
That's stories. Well, then we should probably do some good news, though.
Good news.
Good news.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
Good news.
Good news.
Do you want to go first, or will I go first?
I'll go first because mine's it's not good news, but there's good news associated with it.
All right, that'll do.
So, groom pranks bride with Gareth Southgate wedding speech. So, when Leon King sat down to watch the England-Ukraine match, he had a light bulb moment. He needed to keep his idea secret from everybody, apart from the DJ, at his impending wedding. That's because Leon, who owns a tattoo ink, or whatever, had decided to dedicate his wedding speech to a true hero, Gareth Southgate. He needed the DJ to play the three lines after he'd invited all his guests to participate in a toast. Hilariously, Leon's wife, Laura, didn't have a clue what was going on as he gave his speech. He opened by saying, "It's been a long time coming. We've had highs, we've had lows, but we're finally here today." Still oblivious to what was going on, 30-year-old Laura stood with the rest of the wedding guests as her husband invited everyone to raise a glass. Suddenly, Leon explained that the toast would be honouring Gareth and the England football team. And, well, let's just put it this way, if looks could kill, Leon wouldn't have been around to tell the tale. Luckily, Laura said she found the entire thing funny once she figured out who her husband meant by Gareth, that is. I just think it's funny and a good story because England lost.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a nice story.
That's all. His smug little all. Funny joke that ruined his wedding. It basically ruined his wedding. I don't care what she says. He said, don't you fucking do that. One time you make a speech to like honour me and the family and you're fucking ruined by being a cunt and just being fucking funny for your friends. You fucking cunt, fucking soccer loving, coming home, bollocks. And it's just like you should have just done that properly and watch the game your own fucking time. England lost and
you weren't married, you know.
Well, it's the type of person that's just going to go, you fucking cunt. Fucking cunt.
I know the kind of person. Thankfully, we hate the same people.
Yeah. The good news actually is England lost the final.
I saw a great meme. Is that it was directed at England and said, if you lose, don't riot, don't attack, and don't vandalize. If you win, don't riot, don't attack, and don't vandalize. Can't be fucking trusted. It's just, you know, it's only a sport. And you're only using it as an excuse to get fucking drunk and leery.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for, like, genuine fans who go for the love of the game because they get a bad name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I do know that there are people who just love, you know, soccer. They love supporting their team through thick and thin. And it's great camaraderie, they're friends, great social life, it's great and it's fantastic and it's a good bit of fun.
Yeah. Right?
And you know, their once in a year treat is probably, you know, going to see their favourite team play in a big stadium or whatever. Do you know that kind of way?
Yes.
And it's like they're like true fans. And then you get these leery fucking scumbags who are just like, let's get drunk and tear shit up. Because they feel safe in the numbers that they have. Do you know what I mean? But if they were out in their own, they wouldn't be behaving like that.
And people are saying, like, oh, it's only like 1% of the, like, of people, of these supporters that are kind of like trashing shit up. I've seen the videos of, like, these, you know, hundreds of supporters, and they all seem to be in on it.
Yeah.
They all seem to be just like throwing the rubbish in the air, throwing the shit, breaking the windows, throwing the, whatever fuck is lying about. I was like, it doesn't look like everybody went home and then 50 people hung around to destroy everything. It looks like they all hung about to see what's going on, and then just they all got involved and all started screaming, they all cheering on. I've seen a video of a guy who snorts cocaine. He's on some whatever it is, it's a bench or a bin or something, and everyone's going, "Whoa!" And he snorts cocaine and everyone cheers, and it's like, brilliant, you're heroes of the world. Fuck's sake, this is a country that took over the world. They had the British Empire and they were amazing, and now they're just like,
I kind of wonder why, you know, everyone else in Europe was like, come on, Italy. You know what I mean? Like, I saw a thing on social media, I forget which site it was, but it was an Irish creator, and he was like, the English always wonder why we don't side with them. if we're not playing and they're playing, people say, sure, support your closest neighbour. I'm like, no. Because, like, whenever Irish fans go anywhere, and this is maybe there's kind of some patriotic bias going on here, but when Irish fans go everywhere, even when they lose, they're just out for fun.
Yeah.
Like, of course, there still are, you know, the one or two who will act up. But you don't tend to hear about Irish football hooligans.
Yeah.
You know
what do you hear, I've seen videos of the Irish.
It's something that's synonymous with English soccer fans, whether it's regional or club or, you know, national team. It's just like, let's just get fucked up and fuck everybody, regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
Which is why people don't want to see them win, because when they lose, they're not very gracious about it. They don't take it well, and they really don't take a fucking win well, because they're still going on about the 1966 World
Cup. Oh, fucking hell. Fucking hell.
You know, 50 odd years later, it's like, yeah, well, you know, although I will say the Irish do the same thing with Eurovision. You know what I mean? It's like, of course the Eurovision's ours. We won it in 97. It's like, that's the last time we won it.
Yeah.
But, all right, fair enough.
At least we're still part of Europe. This is a European competition, and England made the final. It's like, hey, didn't you leave? Nah.
Yeah, but Australia's in it as well. You know, fucking Russia and, you know, fucking Moldova. That's a place. I didn't know it was in Europe, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my good news story.
Yes.
Grandparents. Yeah? Some of us have them, some of us don't. Yeah? Well, apparently, if you visit them from time to time,
yes,
they live longer.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so for anyone out there who's recently lost a grandparent, it's because you weren't visiting enough.
Oh, God.
A new study is suggesting...
I blame myself.
As you should.
Yeah.
A new study is suggesting that having more visits with grandparents can help extend their lives. The relationship between a grandparent and a grandchild can be a very important one. And lots of mothers have found fond memories of spending time with their grandparents, and they want the same for their children. However, life gets in the way, and even our best intended plans, it can be hard to connect. The demands and pressures of life can make it hard for a mother and her children. I wonder why I keep saying mom, and I keep changing it to parents. And the reason why is because the story comes from moms.com.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think they could just say parent, but whatever.
Yeah.
So according to a new study that was done, has shown that the loneliness in older adults can take 5 years off their lives. As a child's grandparents age, loneliness is a large factor in their lives, and it can have an effect on their mental and now physical health. Which makes sense, because, you know, you always hear like the sad story of, like, you know, a couple that's been together for like 60 or 70 years, and one dies, and then, like, you know, the next week the other one's just gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you can understand that, like, loneliness is a powerful thing, and people like it is actually a medical thing where people die of a broken heart.
Yeah,
you know, like it's an actual thing. So I'm all for this. Go visit your grandparents, and they live longer.
Okay,
you know, unless, you know, I'm not going to do it, Adam, because it's a good news story. And for me to go where I was going to go was going to be very nasty, and it wasn't going to be my intention, all in pursuit of a cheap gig.
Okay, good for you, because I've already ruined good news, and it's usually you. So, and I think it's a good story you've done. Let's not have you ruin it. I'll be the dick today.
All right. Well, where can people find us then, Adam?
The best way to find us is www.thenewsburp.com for all the lists of our shows. At the bottom of the page, you'll find a link to TeePublic, where you can get our cartoon faces slapped across all kinds of crap, really.
Yeah.
T-shirts, hoodies, bags, badges. Beside that, you find the PayPal, so if you enjoy the show and you want to give a once-off payment, you can throw some money to keep the boat afloat, and that keeps us going. But if you want to become a full-time Patreon, there's the link to Patreon, patreon.com/newsburp. And for different amounts of monies, you'll be thrown on different tiers, and you'll get different things, which you get the show a day early, ad-free version of the show, video of the show, the Patreon extra content, which is our top five and our Florida Mans, and video of that show. And you get a shout-out. Shout-out square two.
Shout-outs go out to Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunson, Sean Ryan, Alexander Hendry, and Sarah Beck. Thank you so much for your support. And don't forget to leave reviews. And I want to give a shout-out to our new podcast, Tickle Kink, finally went live this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
So we have the intro. We have like a little intro. We've recorded six episodes. We've recorded like an intro. We recorded the intro after we recorded the main episode, so that we could look back on it and see kind of what we learned before we went into it.
Yes.
You know, that kind of way. So you're going to hear an intro to some of the things that we learned and discussed before you go into the main show. The first episode is there. Second episode will be up. We'll put one up a week until the six are up, and then we'll go up after that. But it's a Tickle Kink. You get it on anywhere you get podcasts. Okay, it'll come up under the Newsburp name, but it's Tickled Kink. You can get Tickled Kink Pod on Twitter, and TickledKink2021@gmail.com, and get in touch. But if you go on thenewsburp.com, I've usurped the homepage, so you have to see Tickled Kink. You can click past it, but the option is there to check it out if you want to do it on thenewsburp.com. You'll be there for about a week or so, and then we'll let it do its own thing. But I think it's well worth the listen. Myself and Fiona had a great time doing it. I learned a lot, you know, and I'm not a full-time fetishologist, as we all know. But it's a fun podcast. It's a nice, enjoyable content. It's about sexual health and fetishes and kinks, and just approaches to things that we think we know, but we didn't really know as much as we knew. But it's fun. We had a lot of fun doing it. We're six episodes all together. So as I said, the first episode is live on the website, thenewsburp.com.
There you are, folks. Check it out. It's not all smutty. It's not the two of us. It is educational and fun. It's not just smut. It's not just, oh, look what I found in the Urban Dictionary. It's like, no, they actually talk about it and break stuff down.
Yeah. No, I had to research, Adam.
Oh, fucking hell.
I know. Jesus. Like, you've never been able to get me research anything. We've been doing this for these 5-6 years now.
Fucking hell. Whatevs.
You know, sorry to depress you. I'm never getting this time back, man. Never, ever getting this time back.
Yeah, how's that done? This is our last show, folks. I hope you enjoy
next week, top five fingers. Okay.
Is that us?
All right, that's us. Thanks very much, folks. See you soon.
Bye-bye.